Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers, just trust me, I got this. When someone says that to you, how do you feel? Sometimes it can make you feel at ease. Because maybe you're dealing with a situation that you have no idea how to handle it, but knowing that you have someone there who will take care of it puts you at ease. But sometimes when someone says, trust me, I got this, it makes you feel uneasy and nervous because you want all the details, you want the facts, you want to know everything that they're going to do, but they simply tell you, just trust me. I got this. In a way, that's what faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is believing and trusting, even when we don't have all the facts and the details. But since we don't always have those facts and details, we can be like Thomas we heard about. And we can have our doubts about God. But here we see an example of great faith. We see the example of Abraham, who believed in the unbelievable. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. When the Lord said this to Abraham, these words definitely applied to him at this time. Right before this, Abraham was in a battle. Abraham mustered up all of his troops to fight against five rulers and their troops who happened to capture Abraham's nephew, Lot. Abraham was victorious in that battle. And all the spoils and the treasures of that battle, Abraham didn't keep because he didn't want anyone to say that they happened to make Abraham just that much richer. And that's why these words were so appropriate for Abraham at this time. The Lord told Abraham that he didn't have to fear anything because the Lord was his shield. The Lord would protect Abraham. The Lord would fight for Abraham. And the Lord was also Abraham's great reward. The Lord would greatly bless Abraham. And Abraham knew this because God promised he would do it. When the Lord first appeared to Abraham, he told Abraham to leave his home country and to travel to a far distant country that Abraham had never been to. The Lord promised that this distant country of Canaan would one day belong to him and his descendants. The Lord promised that he would greatly bless Abraham, that he would make Abraham into a great nation, and all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. Abraham believed this, for he did leave his homeland and traveled to this distant country, but there was an issue. Then Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. Abraham had his doubts. At this time, Abraham was over 75 years old. His wife Sarah was over 60 years old and she was barren. They have no children. And so Abraham thought and believed that his servant Eliezer would become his heir, would inherit his inheritance, and God would use Eliezer to make Abraham into a great nation. All the facts and the details that Abraham had pointed to the fact that it was unbelievable that he would have a son. But the Lord removed those doubts from Abraham, for he said to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." The Lord assured Abraham that he would have a son from his own body. Even though Abraham was incredibly old, the Lord promised that this would happen. And to illustrate this truth to Abraham, he took him outside and said to him, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." I don't know if you have ever tried to count the stars in the night sky, especially when you're out in the country in a canyon where the city lights don't block any of the stars in the sky. But it's just impossible to do. It is not believable that someone could actually count all the stars. But that's what the Lord told Abraham to try to do. And as Abraham looked at the stars in the sky, the Lord promised that his offspring would be as numerous as those stars. But how does Abraham react to this? Does Abraham doubt the Lord? Does Abraham tell God that this is unbelievable and impossible? No. But rather, we are told, Abraham believed the Lord. Abraham believed in the unbelievable. Even though Abraham was old, he believed that the Lord would give him a son. And one day, God delivered on that promise. When Abraham was 100 years old, he was given his son Isaac. And eventually from his son Isaac and Isaac's son, the 12 tribes of Israel existed. And eventually the 12 tribes of Israel would come and conquer the land of Canaan that God had promised to them. And even though Abraham never lived to the day to see all of these things happen, he believed. He believed in the unbelievable. And we are just like Abraham. Even though we don't go through everything that Abraham experienced, we too believe in the unbelievable. Think of how many things that we believe that seem impossible or unbelievable. Think of our God. We believe in a triune God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet we don't believe in three gods, but one God. Logically, this is impossible. Or think of the two natures of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not 50% man and 50% God. But he is 100% true man and 100% true God in the one person of Jesus Christ. Mathematically, this makes no sense. Think of creation. Science will tell us that the universe is billions of years old and everything came into existence randomly and by chance. But we believe that God in 6 days created everything that exists simply by the power of his word. And think of what we believe about the Word. On the surface, the Bible seems like any other book in the world, and it contains nice stories for us to listen to. But we believe that the Bible is God's Word. The Bible was not invented by mankind, but God told mankind what to write down. And since it is God's Word, it is all completely true and beneficial for us. Think of the sacraments. In holy baptism, we believe that through the waters of baptism, someone receives the gift of the Holy Spirit Their sins are forgiven. They are adopted by God and heirs of eternal life. And in the sacrament of Holy Communion, we believe that Jesus' body and blood are truly present with the bread and the wine, given for us to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation. All of these things seem to be unbelievable and impossible. All the facts and the details tell us that this simply just can't be. But God has worked faith in our hearts that we believe in the unbelievable just like Abraham did. But believe it or not, the fact that Abraham believed that he would receive a son even though he was old is not the most unbelievable thing in this account. Listen again very carefully to the last sentence in this account. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. The Lord credited righteousness to Abraham since Abraham believed. Our logic will tell us that this is just too good to be true. Our logic will tell us that God simply can't just credit righteousness to someone since they believe. And therefore, people have tried to explain why God did this for Abraham. They may point to the character and the person that Abraham was. After all, this is Abraham who did leave his home country to travel to a distant country. This is Abraham who took his troops and fought against those rulers to save his nephew. This is Abraham who was willing to sacrifice his own son because God told him to do it. And it would have happened except for the fact that God told him to stop. Or some people point to how great Abraham's faith was as the reason that God credited righteousness to him. Abraham certainly did have great faith. There's a reason he is nicknamed the father of faith. But it's not who Abraham was or what he had done or how great his faith was that God credited righteousness to him. Every good and positive thing you could say about Abraham, you can point out his sins. Not once, but twice, Abraham lied by saying that his wife was his sister to save his own neck. Shortly after this account, Abraham and his wife would come up with a plan that Abraham would sleep with his maidservant in order to have a son. So not only did Abraham commit adultery, he also took God's plan into his own hands. And certainly Abraham had great faith, but he also had his doubts. We see him having his doubts here as he thought Eliezer, his servant, would become his heir. So it wasn't who Abraham was or his character or his great faith that God credited righteousness to him. And it's not who we are and what we have done and how great our faith may be that God credits righteousness to us. Because every good and positive thing that can be said about us, you can easily point out the sinful things we have done. Just like Abraham who lied. How many times have we lied to save our own neck? How many times have we lied to try to get out of trouble? How many times have we lied to shift the blame upon someone else? Just like Abraham who committed adultery, how many times have we not respected marriage by our actions, our words, and our thoughts? Or just like Abraham, how many times have we put God's plan into our own hands, thinking that God needs our help, instead of simply believing and trusting in God to take care of it? And how many times can we be like Abraham and Thomas and doubt our God? Maybe we can doubt that God is our shield, for he seems to allow so many troubles and temptations in our lives. We can doubt that God is our great reward because we don't receive all the blessings that we want to have from him. We may doubt God's love and forgiveness, either by thinking that in some way we got to do something to save ourselves, or we think that we are beyond being able to be saved, and there's no way that God can forgive us. These are all the facts and the details that point to why God should not credit righteousness to us at all in any way. God should not protect us. God should not bless us. God should not love and forgive us. But God does all of these things simply because God did the most unbelievable thing. God sent his perfect and holy Son for us sinners. God sent Jesus Christ to win and achieve perfect righteousness for us. For he never doubted God. He trusted that God was his shield and great reward. And God sacrificed his own Son for our sins. Even though all of our sins greatly outnumber all the stars in the sky, because of Jesus, God forgives us of each and every one of those sins. And God has given us that undeniable proof that we are forgiven. For on that first Easter Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. Christ rose from the dead for our justification, which means what he said to his disciples when he first appeared to them, he says to us as well, "Peace be with you." Therefore, the reason that God credited righteousness to Abraham, the reason that God credits righteousness to you and to me, is because of Christ alone. Through faith in Christ, a faith that God creates in our hearts, a faith that God works in us, we are connected to Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Through faith in Christ, we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. Through faith in Christ, we are made heirs of God, adopted by him, and will inherit everlasting righteousness in life eternal in heaven. This is the most unbelievable thing that God has done for us. And let us believe in the unbelievable. Let us believe that God is our shield and our great reward. God will protect us. He will bless us with every needful and spiritual blessing. We have no reason to doubt him. And let us believe that in Christ, God credits righteousness to us. Even though our logic would dictate that this is too good to be true, it is the word and promise of our God. So let us believe in the unbelievable. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.